Ek gaan vanoggend met ons die woord deel. I'm going to share the word with us this morning that the Lord laid on my heart. I call it the voice. And it's really been confirmed this morning that this is really what the Lord wants to say to us this morning. Jy weet, die Here praat met ons. Ons preek nie net boodskappe nie. Ons moet hoor. Dis ons plig as leiers en die wat wil spreekbuise wees van God, moet by die Here gaan hoor wat wil hy sê vir 'n gemeente. En so ek glo dat hierdie woord wat ek gaan deel vanoggend is 'n woord vir ons spesifiek vanoggend vir almal wat hier is. For everybody who's here, I believe this is the word from the Lord for every individual and for us as a church as well. So I just want to read for you three scriptures. First one is Isaiah 30 verse 21. It says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the will of God. The will of God is for us to all know his voice. Okay, he says, my sheep hear his voice. And yet we find that many Christians say, oh God, I don't know what you want me to do in this circumstance. Should I go here? Should I go there? And he says, whether you go to the right or whether you go to the left, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Now, why do some Christians still battle knowing the will of God? Because he says his voice will be clear. Isn't that so? That's what the scripture says. And I believe it's a matter of positioning ourselves so that we can hear. You know, if you are a sheep and you've got to follow the shepherd because God says that he's a shepherd, he's the good shepherd, but you're far away from the shepherd, how can you hear his voice? Right? If he's talking to his sheep, but you over there somewhere else, you can't hear his voice. You've got to be close to him, right? To be able to hear his voice. So how do we position ourselves to be close? What does it mean to be close to that voice so that we all are able to hear it all the time? He wants us to know his will all the time in our lives. He wants us to know his will at your workplace, in your relationship. How do I handle this difficult wife of mine? Whatever. You know, do I pray for her? Do I speak to her? How can I? What do I do? You know, in all our circumstances, at your job situation, Lord, here I am at a crossroads. What do I do here? I'm not sure. What should I do? You know, how do I pray for my child? Do I just pray, you know, out of my desperation, or can I pray? Is there something like an effective prayer? Yes, the Bible says that the effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. How can I pray effectively? Because Lord, I've prayed so many times and nothing has happened. And then this guy prays and overnight things change. Nee? So there's effective prayer clearly, and when there's effective prayer, there's probably an ineffective prayer too. Wie het al gebid en dan word julle gebede nie beantwoord nie? Let's be honest, yeah. Okay, so you know what the Lord says? Sometimes we pray. I think that's the next scripture. It says in James 4, verse 2 and 3, yet you do not have because you do not ask. In the eerste plek, sometimes in the first place, we don't ask. You know, we think sometimes, now I can't ask certain things from God. The other night at intercession, the Lord said to us, he wants us to ask. He wants us to ask for the nations. I'll tell you what happened there. You know, I had a girl. This is just, by the way, had a girl who visited me from Dubai. She was there for 3.5 hours. She talked nonstop without hardly breathing. Very interesting woman. She's a school teacher there, but she teaches the Emirates, which is like the highest class of Arab that you can find. And she teaches them privately at their home. So, I mean, she says, she asked this one boy, where do you live? He says, in this street. She says, yes, but what number? He says, no, we live in the street. We live in the whole street. So when she got there, she understood. But in any case, I won't go into that. But she told me a very interesting thing. She said that in the 3.5 hours, amongst other things, she said that the Muslims pray 5 times a day, but they don't pray according to the clock. They pray according to the sun and the moon, so that they all pray together at the same time all over the world. 5 times a day. They say their little rampi, you know, something Akbar, Allah, or whatever. But in any case, it's like a little rhyme that they say the same thing all the time. But in fact, she said she saw like a shield around that particular people group, the Arab Muslims. And when we look at at the lives of the West and the Arab Muslim world, it is so different. It's like two different worlds, isn't it so? You know, and when Gaddafi says, listen, you don't understand how we operate, then it's actually the truth. Because the West operates completely differently. Our idea of democracy is completely different to their idea of democracy. Our idea of freedom is completely different to their idea of freedom, you know, etc. And so it's been very, very difficult to get through that, almost like a shield. She told me, she said she saw the shield around these Arab people. It's very difficult, she says, to get through to them. But she said the Lord showed her that with these five prayers that happen at the same time all over the world, it's a very strong, powerful thing. You know, like in the Old Testament, they used to build the Tower of Babel. And then God said he said, you know, when people are in unity like these people, nothing will be too difficult for them. They'll do what they decide to do because there's an incredible power in unity, whether it is from God or whether it is from the devil, you see. And so this is why I came and confused their languages so that there wouldn't be any unity. But with this united prayer of the Muslims all over the world, she said it's like they've built for themselves like a shield around them of protection in a sense from the word of the Lord, from the truth. And so she said with all the uprisings and stuff, the Lord showed her that this is from the Lord. Many people have prayed over many years. You will remember when you were younger, maybe you prayed with your missions teams for the 1040 window and all that, all the Arab nations that are so, you know, so stuck in their ways and are so impenetrable in a sense. And the Lord showed her with all these uprisings all over the Arab world, it's like there's coming a break in their shield. You know, like cracks in their shield, and the Lord wants us to climb in there and pray. So anyway, and make use of this opportunity in a sense, because these people are forgetting to pray, some of them, you know, because they're so busy rebelling and stuff, they forget to pray. And as they forget to pray, there comes cracks in a sense. You know, when we talk about spiritual warfare, you will understand. There's a crack in their shield, so that we can pray into this situation. But you know, when we now at a prayer meeting where there's about 40 or 50 of us, and we think we can pray into the entire Arab Muslim world, goodness gracious me, how is that possible? It's like really, what is that saying that, ons is 'n baie mislike sê ding in Afrikaans, as jy ding is in die donder weer in, maar in geval. You know, that's how it feels like. That's how it feels like if you sort of here in your little intercession group think that you can have an effect on the whole Muslim world. But you know what? The whole first part of the intercession meeting, I arrived there when my mind was full of the stuff that this girl told me. So now I'm arriving at intercession, and at our intercession, we don't just go ahead and pray. We sing and we worship the Lord, and then we wait on the Lord to show us how we should pray. Because the effective prayer of the righteous man is a prayer. The word effective comes from the Greek word energeia, which means energized by the Holy Spirit. It means God shows us how to pray. Just like with Jesus, he says, I don't do anything that I don't see the Father do, whether it's praying or doing miracles or whatever. The energized prayer from the Holy Spirit avails much, you see. And so we wait on the Lord and we ask him to show us how we should pray. And he gives us words, and usually the words all coincide, and then we know how we should pray. So now I'm there at the prayer meeting, having to lead in a sense, but not lead, just to facilitate the prayer meeting. And I'm saying, God, I'm just really wanting to hear your voice. And if you want, because now I'm so taken with this whole thing of this shield that is open, that's got cracks in, but I'm thinking, maybe the Lord wants us to pray about something else, because we never pray about, we pray for Stellenbosch. You know, our Stellenbosch group prays for Stellenbosch and that the Lord will save Stellenbosch and bring his word through to everybody. And we pray for the church, that the church will rise up, etc. That's what the prayer meeting is all about. So now I'm standing there in the beginning and I say, Lord, if you want us to pray about this whole thing, about the Middle East, I want you, that somebody else, I'm not going to say a word, that somebody in our prayer group will mention the Middle East, then I will know that we should pray for them. But otherwise, maybe my mind is just full of it because this girl's been talking to me about it. And I don't want to pray anything that's not in your will for this particular prayer meeting. So for a whole hour, the words that came that the Lord showed us what we should pray is that we should stop thinking small. That we don't have this scripture. We do not have because we do not ask because we ask. We're too careful to ask because we think too little of ourselves. We don't realize that God, and this was the word, that God favors us. He looks upon us and he's wanting to move upon the earth, but he's waiting for Christians who will realize who we are in Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And he wants to open our eyes to understand what he has invested in us who serve him, you know. And that he wants us to pray big prayers, not little prayers. But now, obviously, we need a revelation. So for a whole hour, we were praying that the Lord will give us the revelation of what he has really invested us so that we will pray big prayers. And then after about 7:30, this girl came forward, tallish, dark-haired girl. She took the mic, and she was crying. I remember that the tears were dripping off her chin. She could hardly speak. She could hardly hold the mic. She said she sees Muslims and Hindus with unveiled faces before the Lord. And I knew this was the word that the Lord wanted me to connect with, you know. And then I went also and I said to the people, and I told them about this thing that the girl from Dubai told me. And then for the rest of the evening, we prayed for that. But now we had faith because we realized the Lord said, pray for the nations. I will give you the nations. Ask me for the nations. And I will give you. And we realized then, you know, it's so amazing to pray when you know you've heard from God. And he said that we now heard from him and we could now pray with confidence, knowing that he placed those prayers in our hearts. So this is just an aside. But let's just put that scripture up again. Because now there's the other side of that scripture that says you do not have because you do not ask. But then you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. So here is a sort of, when we look at, if you ask amiss, it means that you can ask aright, or ask amiss. So sometimes we pray stuff and we miss, our focus is wrong. Isn't that so? It talks about a wrong focus. And so in the next verse, in the next scripture, I believe the Lord brings us an answer to what is this dilemma now? How do I know when I ask amiss? Because it's not like God doesn't want me to have stuff. You know, because he says you may spend it on your pleasure. So in other words, may I not ask the Lord for a house? May I not ask him for a vehicle? May I not ask him for stuff? May I not ask him for a wife or for a husband or for a whatever, you know? No, that's not what he's saying here. He's just talking about ingesteldheid. What is that in English? Yeah, a mindset. A mindset, you see. And God wants us to have the right mindset. So he wants us, yes, mindset is actually the word if we look at a couple of scriptures in a moment. But 1 John 5 verse 14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. But now we have the dilemma. How do we know what is his will, right? Who of us have prayed sometimes? Can somebody just pull this thing forward? Ek meen, almal kan terugloop hier en julle is te ver van my af. Niemand wil in die voorste ry sit nie. Dankie. Vas sit hom sommer daar. Hoe nader hoe beter dit. Ek was 'n ou choir teacher gewees en ek hou daarvan om bo op my koor te staan. Hoor hulle my beter. Anyway, so who of you have prayed, God, what is your will in this situation? What is evil in this situation? Even Jesus said, you know, when he was in Gethsemane, he said, God, this is really what I want. I don't want to go through this really, you know. I mean, look at me. I've got to, and it's not just about going through the cross as we would understand it with our minds, you know, all the pain that he was going to go through. He had to become sin on the cross. We have no idea what that means. And that is what had him in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, if you become, it's not like he just carried the sin on his shoulders. He became, the scripture says, he became sin for us. That is why it says he can identify with our everything. He can identify with pedophiles, he can identify with rapists, he can identify with murderers, etc., because he carried it in himself. in a sense, experienced it on the cross, the sins of the entire world. Now, we cannot fathom that, you know. And so then he prayed, however, not my will, but your will be done, because there was obviously silence when he prayed, Father, don't you want to let this cup just pass from me? Can't we do it another way? Kind of a thing. And there was silence. There was not an answer to prayer, not a relief, no peace. You see, but he said, however, not my will, but your will be done. And he already knew what the will of God was. So God wants us to pray according to his will. How do we find his will? Who wants to know? Some of you are praying, you are standing, you know, in faith for something and it's not happening and you're not sure whether is it God's will or isn't it God's will. How does it work? Okay, I want us to look at what I was saying in the beginning. God wants us to position ourselves so that we can hear his voice. Now, I'm going to talk about how can we position ourselves. You see, the sheep must know the heart of the shepherd, right? They must completely know what is in, where the shepherd wants to take them. Okay? And that is why he stays with the shepherd, because he trusts the shepherd. Because the shepherd's not going to lead them into a place where they don't want to be. The shepherd always leads his sheep to quiet waters, to a place where they can feed. Okay? So they must trust the shepherd and come close to him. Okay? And then the shepherd is a shepherd over many people. He's a shepherd, Jesus the shepherd, is a shepherd over his entire church. All over the world. And he has one thing to say. If you want to know what is the will of God to his entire body, to everybody, from the day that he got crucified and was raised again, for the rest of mankind, all his people, he gave them a specific, if we want to know what the instruction that he gives us, who knows what is the instruction that he gives to all of us? There we go. There we go. Let's put that scripture on. Just before he went, he said to his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. If we want to know what is the Lord's will for his entire body, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, when I talk about positioning ourselves, you know, when it rains, you can either be in a building or outside the building. You can either be under the roof or outside the roof, right? You can either be in the rain or under a roof. You can either feel the rain or you can just look at it. Now, some Christians are in the rain. They experience the voice of God, okay? Tangibly, they know the voice of God because they are positioned in the rain. Some Christians are positioned under the roof. They look at other people who are enjoying the voice of God and operating in it, and they can see it, but they're not experiencing it for themselves. So this is what I mean by position yourself. Are you going to stay under the roof or are you going to get into the rain? Do you understand? Just the concept of positioning. So God wants us to position ourselves in such a way that we can actually experience his voice, in a sense, and his will for our lives. So how we do that is we have to see what does God say to the entire body. He says to us that, go therefore and make disciples. So if we want to start off knowing the will of God, that's where it starts. That's where it starts. So you get lots of Christians who just ignore that and want to know the will of God in their own personal private lives. But they skip the command to the entire body of Christ that says, we do not live for ourselves anymore. God did not bring us to a place of the new birth, like he says, to be born again, of weergebore, of wat ook al. When he puts his spirit inside of us, he puts his spirit inside of us. And his spirit, he says, I want to lead you with my eye. I want to lead you with my eye. I want you to look into my eye. In a sense, it all happens on the inside of you. It's not like something outside. It happens on the inside of you as the Holy Spirit will show you the heart of God. Because the eye is the window of the soul, right? Okay? The eye is the window of the soul, and God wants us to see inside of his heart. His heart is for the people. His heart, the reason why he died on the cross, he says, is that all men should be saved. And if we come to the place we don't care about people and their salvation, we will not hear the word of God further because we're not positioned in the right place. So many people, they pray about this and this, and their Christianity is just all about me, myself, and I. God, do this for me. God, do this for me. And God, do the next thing for me. And let me tell you, at this time, where God is clearly speaking to us about harvest time, you know, he's shaking the earth everywhere. People are, I mean, even the Kiwi rugby players are saying, Christchurch, we pray for you. I mean, they've never said anything about prayer or God bless you. They've never said God, you know. They don't say stuff like that. I have family in New Zealand, and those people are very unchristian, you know. And so the whole world is wondering about God, and they're grabbing their Bibles. Didn't they say something about this kind of a thing happening all over? Because now it's flooding again in, where is it? Thailand, etc. It's just not stopping. It's the one thing upon the other. And people even in the who don't know God are wondering what's going on. Because, I mean, if everything that's under your feet even starts shaking, what can one hold on to? Because, you know, people just live. They don't think for themselves. They get themselves so busy watching TV and doing this and doing sport, etc. They keep themselves so busy that they don't have to think of eternity. Right? They escape. You can just press a button and be in another world. You know, if I'm bored with this life, I just go clicks and I'm in somebody else's life on the TV or, you know, whether it's the news or a movie or whatever. But people don't think for themselves. But people are thinking for themselves now. It is an opportunity for us because people are wondering what's going on and their worlds are being shaken, rich and poor, because an earthquake has got no respect for the size of your house. You know, it just takes it with a tsunami. And people are watching this over and over, realizing this can actually happen to me. So, you know, the mindset where the world is at the moment, it's ripe unto harvest. Ripe unto harvest. And if we as Christians, as C.S.'s dream, he had a dream. Did I share that dream with you last time I was here? Can you say yes or no? Okay, I'll just share it shortly. The Lord gave him a warning. He said that these Christians who are in this building, he dreamt that there was this building with a wall around, and inside there were lots of Christians, but we were all very, very, very overweight. Okay, we were all huge. And we were having a wonderful time. There was cake and food and everything that you can think of inside of this building. We were laughing and chatting and just enjoying each other, enjoying the food. We were all very fat. And then outside of this building, there was this door and then a long queue of people who wanted to come in. But C.S. says he was standing outside of this building and was looking at this lot and he was wondering why the queue moved so slowly. So he came to the front and he saw that that this was like a security gate, but like a very strict security gate. And you had to do lots of stuff. They had to measure your length, your width, your this, your that. You had to fill in forms just about your blood, grandmother's blood group and everything, you know, before you could go in and enjoy what the other people had to enjoy. And then there was this one person who was standing there and he asked him, what is your name? He said, Holy Spirit, standing outside. And it was a warning from the Lord. For us as Christians, if we are just so inward focused, we enjoy the Lord's provision that he gives for us, his blessings, his teachings. We revel in the world. We enjoy his presence. We enjoy each other. But if we forget about the people on the outside who are desperate to enjoy the comfort, the provision, all the stuff that God has for the whole world, if we forget about them and make it so difficult for them to come in, the Holy Spirit will leave our lives. And there's many people in whose lives the Holy Spirit has already departed. And they don't even know it because they're having a wonderful time. You see. And so this is really a call for the Lord, that the Lord is pressing upon my heart, upon many Christians' hearts at this time, to just check our hearts again. What are we here for? Are we just here to have the benefits of serving God? Because there are many, many benefits. Many, many benefits. I said, in our own lives, just practical little things. The Lord's protection is always around us. When it goes badly with everybody else, His protection, His provision, all of those things, His mercies, as we read, are abundant. You know, one of the problems this girl says with Islam, she says, they say, no, it can't be so easy as to just ask forgiveness and to be forgiven. You've got to do a long trip to Mecca to get forgiven, you know. They just said, it can't be so easy. You know, and God has given us the provision of forgiveness of sins at a prayer. And just a heart that, you know, that is repentant before God. And then we can have it. So much that we can enjoy. We can live without that incredible guilt. We can live with the assurance of our salvation. Whereas the Muslim faith, they never know whether they're assured of their salvation. Henny preached here last week, didn't he? About righteousness. Remember he mentioned that to you. That they can't be sure. They must weigh their good works with their bad works and sort of hope that it's going to balance each other out. And then, of course, you know, the only way that you can know is if you become a suicide bomber or something. Then you can be sure that you're going to go to heaven. So, I mean, imagine with this weight of nervousness, of tension inside of you, you know, we don't have that. We don't have that. We have the Lord and we have His Spirit inside of us that even creates in us the desire and the ability to do God's pleasure. You know? And so sometimes we don't understand this incredible gift that God gives us and we enjoy it so much and we forget about the world. We think, oh, well, they can go to hell, you know? At least I'm safe and my family. I must just make sure that me and my family is safe because I don't want to go to heaven without my little family. Right? But the other people we don't care about. And God wants us to look into our hearts. And be honest and say, God, I'm actually there. And if I'm there, your Holy Spirit is probably on its way out. I will not hear His voice. And that's a scary place for me to be. So, I mean, for myself, I'm also just really looking at my heart concerning these things. He says that He's preparing His bride, you know. So we must expect change. We cannot think that we can stay the same as what the church was 10 years ago. God is speaking to us. What He put up with 10 years ago, He does not put up with anymore because He wants to purify His bride. We're going to be a bride spotless before Him with the right attitude so that we will fit Jesus as our bridegroom. Okay, that is why He wants us to become Christ-like, Christ-like. So He's bringing us to a greater place of Christ-likeness, and He wants us. I'm telling you, I'm so excited when we sing about a new generation, not just these babies, it's us as well. God wants us all, young and old. He wants the hearts of the fathers to be turned to the children, the children to the fathers. He doesn't just want to move on the little generation. He wants to move on all of us with gray hairs as well. You know, He wants this whole generation to move in His will so accurately. That we will know when we see, just like in the Bible time, like with Peter and John who walked up the gate beautiful and there was this guy sitting who couldn't walk. And we know the will of God. Today we say to this guy, stand up and walk. This is what God wants, you see. He wants us to come to a much greater place of accuracy, knowing His will. For whose sake? For the sake of the world that He wants to save. We'll look at that in a moment. But this is the thing, you see. If we're not there, then we're not close to the voice. We're not close to His eyes because this is the heart of God. This is the heart of God. Let's go on. Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 16 talks about, right, so when we look at the big picture of God and His body, His entire body of Christ all over the world, that is His will. Make disciples of all nations. But now, let's go further and go to church, like this church, okay, or whatever church you come from, doesn't matter. This is what He says. He says, He Himself talks about Jesus. When you look in the context, Jesus Himself gave, He's talking about the structure of the church and how do we operate? How do we know the will of God? Okay, He says he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. We call it the fivefold ministry. For what? For the equipping of the saints. This is what I'm doing now, amongst other stuff. We have also foundations. We have Bible school. We equip the saints in this church. We make sure that you understand the word of God and that you know how to apply it in your life, not just here on Sundays, all the time. Okay, and then we go and we break it down into our own lives in our small groups on a Wednesday night or whenever you meet. Because we want to know the will of God. We want to know what is the work of the ministry in our lives. What is my calling? Every person has a specific calling from the Lord. A specific calling. I must know. In this bigger picture, in the bigger picture of go and make disciples, some people are called to do this, this, this. It's not everybody who goes like we saw to Japan. Obviously, everybody can't go to Japan or this. We have several outreach groups. Everybody doesn't go. Some people pray for it. Some people save up and make lots of money in their businesses so that they can finance this lot, you see. Some people pray. Some people do, some people pray, some support, but the whole body works together. And us people, we equip you. You will find in the Shofar Church, you will find you can pick them out. Who's the apostle type in our churches? Who's the one who gives vision? Who thinks of the bigger picture? Fred, my husband, okay? Who's the prophetic types? Me. Okay, I always see the picture sort of in the season. Who's the teacher types? Who did you hear last week? Everybody says they understand that. Everything, you know, the word just happens when he preaches it, hey? Who's the evangelist? See us. Okay. Pastor. Theo. Andries. Huh? Andries is a teacher of ours. Ach, betekent is so combinatie, you know? I'm also a bit of a teacher, a bit of a prophetic thing. But in any case, God gives the whole range. It's like a plate of food in front of you. Bit of vegetable, bit of potato, bit of meat, bit of this, that you can have a balanced diet, you know, so that you can know the full word. So we need all of those kind of people to equip us for what? For the work of the ministry, for our calling, so that we can know it and so we can walk in it. For the edifying of the body of Christ, let go on. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Did you get that? Every part does its share. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Two things, growth and edifying. Can you put up the next slide there? What is this edifying about? It's so that the body can grow, and the word growth there is for numerical expansion. For the edifying, the internal strengthening. These two things, the Lord uses that fivefold ministry to equip the saints so that we will numerically grow. Because the body, if a baby just stays a baby, he cannot be strong if he stays a baby, if he stays little. Isn't that so? He's got to grow. And so that applies to our cell groups. Lots of cell groups that just stay a little baby in size. Okay, because we're just concerned about edifying each other. Internal strengthening. We only want to look after each other. If we only look after each other, let me tell you, that cell group or that church is not going to become strong. Go read that scripture again in the order that it says it. Let's just go to the previous scripture. The next slide. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. It's not growth and edifying. Growth of the body for the edifying of itself. I'm telling you, it's like if a cell, that's why we don't call it cell groups, and we call it small groups, because some people think of a prison when you'd say cell. But actually the idea is of a little cell in your body. If there's no plan to multiply yourself, this thing is eventually going to die. Okay. So if we become just inward focused, oh, we got such a nice church, and wow, what a nice view we have. Just joking. I mean, it is a nice view. But I mean, obviously, we were not going to think of that. But if we become so inward focused and we just want to edify each other, but we don't think of growing yourself or your church, then what we always find that at the end, it rocks were ingroeid toe en al. Okay, it becomes a bit painful and people start getting, and you don't know why. It's because it's not growing. And so you're losing the strength that you're supposed to have. Okay, so what do we, did you dish out some little cards there? Did you dish out? What we have for the cell groups, how do you now apply this in the cells? Before I go there, yeah. Yeah, okay, just give us those little forms. I asked Theo to just print some things that we're going to give you for your cell groups. Because we don't quite know, how do we reach out? How do we sort of, you know? I'm not the evangelist type of a person. I'm not the kind of person who goes out and speaks to people and can't wait to sit next to somebody in the aeroplane so I could preach at them. I'm not like that. Usually when I get onto the plane, I just want to be in my own little bubble and rest, you know? However, I must be open for if this is a divine appointment sitting next to me, which has happened sometimes in my life. These little cards will say, will have a couple of lines here on the side. So to help you to get into the right thinking, to position yourselves in your cell groups, to think right, to not just be there to edify each other. We have these things and you're going to write, you're going to ask God and say, God, who do you want me to reach? Starting off with prayer. Anybody else who wants some? Anybody else who has been left over with the paper, the card keys? And you write those names down here and you bring it to the cell group. And every week, everybody just prays for one person together from everybody's little card. And so you see, in that way, jy maak jou ingesteldheid. You're making your mindset. You're changing your mindset so that it can accommodate the world and you are sincere about it. So you've got to go and ask God, God, who do you want? And it will be somebody that's in your sphere. It's not somebody who lives in Dubai or something. It's somebody there, and either a neighbor or maybe a couple of neighbors or somebody that you work with or somebody that's in your grasp. That you, should the Lord speak to you at some stage to speak to that person, that you can. But in the meantime, bid ons hulle warm. Okay. And we break through that veneer that keeps them blind. Because if they knew who God was, how wonderful he was, you know, they would want to serve him with all of their hearts. But the devil manages to blind people for how incredible he is, like Carmen was saying this morning, you know. If people would just know, and this is the big job of the devil, is to keep people thinking, oh, God just wants to spoil your fun. He just wants to control you and manipulate you and make you do things that you don't want to do. And you know, you've got to walk this tightrope because God, now we heard, he abundantly pardons. You know? No, there's many mistakes that we're going to make. We are human and God forgives us for that. That's what he did the whole thing on the cross for. You know, so we can come to him, you know, when we miss the mark. And then we can just say, God, please forgive me. Help me to just walk in your way. Because his ways always lead to what? Success. He says, I know the plans I have for you to give you a hope and a future. Not to bring disaster. Some people, you know, the devil says, ooh, God wants to bring disaster. Just like he did in the Garden of Eden. You know, he said to Eve, did God say? Ha, you know what? He just wants to trick you. He just doesn't want you to eat of that tree because he knows if you eat of that tree, you're going to be just like him, knowing the difference between good and evil. So he's actually just wanting to con you. God is a con, you know. And as soon as you say yes to God, you know what he's going to do? He's going to take over your life and control you. So many people don't want to give their lives to God because the devil tells them that he's going to do them in. What if he sends me to China? I hate rice and raw dog. Somebody told me about a society stick that had all these spiders, live spiders and stuff on, you know. I tell you, if God wants to send you to China, he'll prepare you. And by the time you go, you will love to eat live spiders. You know, he says he creates in you both the desire and the ability to do his good pleasure. So God is a good God. He wants to bless us. And this is the job of the devil, is to keep people from not knowing that. You know, like a whole Muslim community, you can't understand forgiveness. If they will understand it, this girl says, wherever she goes, people hang on her. They say, she's so different from Muslim women. There's something about her that's so pure. It's the Spirit of God. You know, and she says that the moment she tells them she's a Christian, but she's not preaching at them or anything. So I said, don't. When the Lord releases you, at the moment, she's just nice to them. And they don't understand that. They don't understand what is it that she has. She's got forgiveness. You know, she's got a life full of the Holy Spirit. And they're attracted to it. The kids say, Miss Marion, Miss Marion will know. Miss Marion will know everything. The teachers say so. The parents say, if you want to know something, just ask Miss Marion. You know? Everybody, she says that one day she walks down the passage in the school, the one teacher sees and just drops the stuff and she's, oh, she prays every morning to Allah that she will just see her. Because there's just something about her that's just so attractive. You know? And the Lord is preparing, look at these people. They recognize the Spirit of Christ in somebody and they're attracted to it. But you see, the Lord wants us to pray that their eyes be opened up. Imagine those people when their eyes open up and they realize, I don't have to kill myself to have an assurance of self, you know, of eternal life with God. So, guys, I want you to take this home and start doing that. We're not only hearers of the word, right? We do it. If you're just a hearer of the word, the Lord has no business talking to you in any case. Why should he talk to you? You know, it's like having two kids. You want the lawn mowed? You say to the one, will you mow the lawn? He says, yes, but he doesn't. The other child, if you say, will you mow the lawn? He doesn't even say anything, but he just gets up and he mows the lawn. Who are you going to ask to mow the lawn? The second kid. He's going to talk to him more, you know. You're going to give him instruction because you know it's going to get done. Don't bother with this first kid. Because he's not going to do it anyway. So the Lord speaks to people who are wanting to be doers of the word. And, I must go on. Eh? Let me just look at the scriptures. You see, one of the things, at the moment the Lord is equipping us. Let's just go back to what I was saying, that the fivefold ministry equips us for the work of the ministry. I'm not here very often, so I talk a little bit long for the visitors. Don't, please forgive me. But are you still with me? You don't look asleep or anything. Great, so I can speak. So what the Lord is saying to us, he also talks to us in seasons. You know, he will make something known to us in a particular season as he's taking us on a journey to become clean and bright, like he says, you know. His bride ready for us, because he talks at the end of this earth age that there's going to be a huge party of the husband and the wife, of the bridegroom and the bride. Bridegroom is Jesus, the bride is the body of Christ. So he's preparing us for that. So as the seasons go, he says we must look around us, and then his invisible attributes are clearly seen by the things he has made. And we know that there's seasons for sowing, seasons for reaping, etc. And at the moment, the Lord is speaking to us, and when we listen to the guys, I was in Namibia last weekend, the Lord is saying to them precisely the same that he's saying to us. You go to East London, Andre phones me, he says, you know, this is what I think the Lord is saying. What do you say? I say the Lord is saying precisely the same thing, because you know what? The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And he's talking to us in seasons. And in this season, I want you to know what the Lord is saying, amongst other things. He's saying to us Isaiah 55. Let's just put that scripture on. He says to us that we must get focused. We must develop the right appetite. We must drop our worldly appetites, you see. Sometimes, you know, we have a way of living our lives. When I'm sort of a little bit bored, or I've got time or whatever, then I do a particular thing. Either I switch on the TV and watch the news, right? On a Saturday afternoon, I probably do what? Watch rugby at the moment. Super 15. That's on my plate. You see, that is how my life works. In the morning early, I have a little bit of a quiet time, and then I go on with my work. I come at the end of the day. If I've listened nicely to the last couple of sermons, then I will unload all the rubbish that has happened in my life, just freak out to God and just say, oh, this person really freaked me out. Lord, please help me to just get my attitude straight here, or how shall I handle this? Or, you know, sometimes life brings you a curveball, right? And then God says, cast your cares upon me. Bring your burden to me. Sometimes at the end of the day, the Lord wants us to do that, just to get rid of that frustration that sits there, that anger that maybe came up in a work situation when somebody was ugly with you, or somebody, you know. And God wants us to just cast our cares upon him and stuff like that. And so we have our little ritual. You know, this time we do this, at this time we do that. I shared in Stellenbosch a couple of weeks ago, the other day. I don't think I shared it yet. I was sitting. It was a Saturday afternoon. And I was watching the rugby. There was nobody at home. Now, I enjoy rugby. I enjoy sport. My kids are sporty. I was sporty. My husband was sporty. We love sport. So nobody's there, but I'm sitting there, slouched in my soft chair. TV's on rugby. It was a couple of weeks ago. It was a very, very boring game. They only kicked the ball. They never scored. It was between Stormers and the Cheetahs or something, I can't remember. Or the Bulls, probably the Bulls. I think it was a Bulls game, Dion. And I'm sitting there, and it's really, really boring. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and he says to me, I want to spend some intimate time with you now. And I'm sitting there, and clearly as a bell, I know this is God. But I'm sitting too comfortable here, and I'm thinking, but now you know, one watches rugby on a Saturday afternoon. This is what I'm used to. This is what my appetite dictates to me, you see. So I'm sitting there, shall I or shall I not? And I clearly again have this feeling that this game is specially organized to be extremely boring. I'm sitting there thinking how boring is the game, so that I will be delighted to get up and spend some quality time with God. And I know, you know, there's special times that God calls you. It's not always that it happens like this, but sometimes the Lord, just like a husband, will, oh, now it's quiet, you know, will just desire to spend special time with his wife. You know that zondagmiddag slapie? Slapie. And then he sort of, you know, he woos her. And it's in the Song of Songs as well, where it talks at a stage about the Holy Spirit or the husband, you know, knocking on the door of his beloved. And then his beloved is inside. And she says, ooh, but I've got to get up. And my feet is going to get dirty from here to the door. And da-da-da-da. She's still busy complaining when he knocked. And by the time she gets to the door, after all her moans and groans, she opens the door and he's gone. Because you see, he wants her to respond immediately. And so that was one of those kind of calls that God wanted me to respond immediately. I didn't. I sort of figured, well, I'll respond when the game's over. And so when the game was over, I switched the TV on, off, right there on my knees, and I said, now, God, you can speak to me. And then there was nothing. Nothing. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and there was just nothing. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is sensitive. He says, don't quench the Holy Spirit when he wants to speak to you, you know. And once you're in that place where you know his voice, do not harden your heart like in the rebellion. You see, but respond to it. And you know that the incredible beauty that he has for you there cannot compare to even the best rugby game, let alone the most boring one on the planet. Okay, but in any case, so God wants us to develop right appetites. And the other day somebody said to me, you know what, they went to Mozambique and they gave the people there proper food, like a mixed diet. And they ate it. And they thought, oh, they're going to be very, very excited about this very good food. And when they were done, they said, you know what? They like their sasta or something like that. I don't know what they eat. Sal something. It's a particular kind of pap that they're used to eating there. And basically, one craves what you're used to. And now we sit at this stage of our lives where we do what we're used to doing, and God wants to come in and change that. And we've got to be willing to have that changed. To be called at times when we're used to eating breakfast. But it's breakfast time now, God. No. But I want you to have lunch now. No, but it's breakfast. And this is what I want you to have for lunch, you see. Just to break out of our little spiritual boxes. I'm just using that as an example. You know, Jesus used parables as examples. Spiritually. That he can call us at whichever time. And he wants to sometimes, you know, you sort of, what shall I do now? Instead of switching on the telly, go and seek the Lord's face, you know. And he wants us to, I'm not saying that any of these things are sin. God says everything is permissible, but everything doesn't edify. And so there's a place where God wants to edify us as people more, you know. He wants to edify us spiritually. He wants us to be excited, to know what's going on, not to be confused like the rest of the world when things start going funny. He wants us to know his will. He wants us to know him like Dion was sharing this morning. You see, he must be our shield and our great reward. Not sort of entertainment or doing this or let me go and do this, what we used to. See, God wants us to now learn to discern. No, I'm not going to watch this movie because they're using the Lord's name in vain. Off with you, button. This thing is not edifying me, you see. Where we in the past, we'll go, yes, but the storyline is so nice. You know, it makes up for the swearing. No. Where God says, no, switch off what is not edifying. You see, get into a habit where your appetite is going to change, where you cannot stand that thing anymore. It's not like you're going to judge the rest of the world if they do it. It's for yourself so that you can actually have a light shine through you so that everybody in Dubai or wherever, when they see you, they just want to be with you. You see? And then at the right time, you can share what is this light that you have inside of you. And so God really wants us to change our appetite. But now this is a scripture that came up at intercession this week. And last week, I read exactly, but it's not even just, because it's a couple of, it's different verses. And they skipped the same verses and they've just brought out particular things. While I was also preparing on, when was this? On Wednesday and Thursday. On Thursday night, this girl read exactly the scripture. I'd already written the scripture down in my sermon and she quoted exactly the same verses. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters and you have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Says the Muslims, that's too cheap. You know, we're talking about spiritual riches. Yeah. Yes, come. Yeah, I said that. Why do you spend money on what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Can you see what I was saying just now? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. He's talking about that appetite. Eat what is good and your soul, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. He says your soul will be delighting itself in abundance if you eat right. Incline your ear and come to me here, and your soul shall live. Incline your ear. In other words, come close to me, the shepherd, and come to me here. If you hear my voice, your soul shall live. What is your soul? It's your emotions. It's your mind. It's all of that faculty that makes you either feel good or bad. Emotionally, you see. So many people are feeling yeah, emotionally. And the Lord says, man, you know why you're feeling like that? Because you're not edifying yourself. You're not inclining your ear. You know, when you hear my word, when the Lord gives you revelation like he did with me this morning when we were singing, and I just fell on my knees. I just thought, I can't handle this. Suddenly the Lord just gave me a revelation of his greatness as we were singing that last song. And I couldn't stand because it was like, wow. And earth. And it is so overwhelming, not just the words, the dead words, you know? Dead words bring death. The letter kills. But when the Spirit puts his life in something, it's like, oh, I can live in this place forever. It's such an incredible revelation. And I can walk out of here being able to know and understand everything and not being bogged down by stupid things. You know, I will know what to pray for. I know exactly how to pray for what. I'm not bogged down by lack or not lack, like thing was saying. You know, because I know God is faithful the whole time. I must now really rush. Dupi is yawning, so that's dangerous when she starts yawning. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts. You see, sometimes we've got to take our thoughts captive. Sometimes our mind goes all over the place, does ridiculous things. The Lord says, take your thoughts captive, subject it to the Spirit of Christ. You know, even in our thoughts, God wants us to go. Let him return to the Lord. He will give you mercy in him and to our God, for he will, here it is again, abundantly pardon. That word that Carmen brought this morning. Okay, he wants us to know and understand his incredible greatness. You see, the Lord wants us to be sharp for the sake of the harvest. Because you know what? When he talks about the harvest, I'm going to really go very quickly now. Matthew 9, verse 35 to 10, verse 1 says, "Seek." Then Jesus went about all the cities, villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease. Okay, this is what Jesus did when he was on the earth among the people. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Go on. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. When he had called his 12 disciples, whom he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease. When you look at that scripture, you see that Jesus goes about doing miracles the whole time. He's forever healing people's bodies, casting out demons. Then he says, oh, the harvest is so great. He looks at the multitude. They're like sheep without a shepherd. You know, he can only heal so many people because he's one person. Then he says, there's so many people. There's such a big harvest. We must pray that the Lord will send out harvesters to do what? To heal the sick, to cast out demons. Same what Jesus did, you see. And the Lord wants us to become sharp in the spirit so that we will do that. It's happening too little in Christian circles. God wants us to be sharp to know his voice so that we will do that. Okay. Now, some Christians, as I said, do not understand that place. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16b. I want to explain the last thing to you quickly. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. Every Christian who's given his life to the Lord, the Spirit of God is inside of him, and we have the mind of Christ. In other words, we can know his will. We have access. The Holy Spirit inside of us can explain to us what is the mind of Christ. You see? That is how it is. But some people have become dull of hearing. They hear and hear, but they don't understand. There's a scripture, Isaiah 6 verse 9, that says that. It says, where's Isaiah? Quickly. I'm going to move quickly now. Isaiah 6 verse 9. Have I got it there? And he said, go and tell to the people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Many Christians are in that place. They keep on seeing, they read their Bibles, they don't have a clue what it says. They don't understand it. They hear a sermon, they cannot discern what it is for them. They hear the voice of people around them, the counsel of many, they say something, they still do their own thing. You know, because the Lord says, wisdom is found in the counsel of many. You know, and some people, you know, you sit in your cell group, you say, oh, will you pray about this? And then they pray about this, and they give you this rod, and then you go and do your own thing. Very dangerous. Stupid, really. You know, keep on hearing, but not, you know, not understanding. So God wants us to understand the mind of Christ, not just to hear it and be dull, like the people he's talking here about, the people in the desert. Now they were the chosen people of God, but you know, a whole generation pegged, they died in the desert because they would not understand. Because they were forever moaning and groaning. And oh, I talked about that to you last time. So what is the mind of Christ? Philippians 2 verse 5. Almost done. What does it say there? Where am I now? Philippians. Yeah. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It says, it commands us. It says, let this mind be. What is the mind of Christ? Let's look at it quickly. Philippians 2 verse 7 to 8. When he talks about this mind that is in Christ, we just read on. It says, he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. A bondservant means that it's a willing servant who serves willingly his God. Coming into the likeness of men, that's what Jesus did. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of the cross, even death on the cross. Okay, so here we see, what is the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ here, if you can sum it up in one little sentence, is he says that I will be obedient to God, even if it kills me. Okay. That is what it says. That's the mind of Christ. When we look at the next one, that is just before that scripture that talks about we have this is the mind of Christ. Just before that, it also refers to it. Let nothing be done, he's talking to us, through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. So here we are looking at people. We're wanting to be their servant. All people. If we can come to the place where we can regard others, never mind what their standing is. You know, Stellenbosch, oh, is a snobbish place. There's so many snobs who live there. There's like a stronghold of snobbism. Here in Somerset West, it's who's got the most money. Okay? And then this one looks down on this one who hasn't got so much, or this one looks down on this one because, you know, we do classical music here. We do, Wurtfest here. And we do this, and we don't do that. You know, this music is very common. No, we will not listen to this. It's too much drums. What's this guitar doing? It doesn't take too much skill to play a guitar. You know, to the violin, however. Now, you know, I love classical music. That's what I studied. B-mus, that's what I studied. But the Lord says we must be able to relate to all people and not regard people in the flesh, but look up to them. They're the creation of God. Every person, that bergie on the street that's so gesaip there, can I regard him higher than myself? You know? Now we must be honest before at this time with God and say, God, I don't. I can't, you know? I just want to walk past him and go, ah, you know, jy soek al voor. You know, put judgments on these people, not knowing where they come from or anything. Am I going to feel inferior to the queen? No. You know? But she shouldn't feel inferior, feel superior to me either. Who watched? I watched the king's speech the other day. And, you know, this guy says, I can only help you if you will be my friend. But if you want to be the king and relate to me as the king, then I can't help you. Because we've got to be peers, you know, for me to be able to help you. Because you're going to do silly things. You're going to go and stuff. And you won't be able to do that with somebody who you look down upon. So you've got to think differently. You see, and God wants our minds to change. He wants our mindsets to change so that we will regard others. Now, I'm going to finish. If this is our desire, now none of us are there. None of us are there, so don't go into a state of condemnation, okay? We aren't there, but this is where God wants to move us. If our desire is to come to a place of perfect obedience to God, that is the mind of Christ, okay? Perfect obedience to Christ. If that is what we're wanting to move towards, that is our goal in our spiritual life, as well as serving others with a servant heart, regarding others higher than ourselves. That is our desire. We want that, but we know we're not there. Then we're going to start praying the right prayers. Then we're going to start praying prayers according to the will of God, you see. And then he says, once we think kingdom like that, then he says, all those little things that we always spend all our prayers on, he'll sort that out for us. We hardly have to say anything. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. I don't even have to pay attention to that. You can ask, you know, but that's not your focus. So our focus is obedience to God, servant to people. Let's stand. Let's stand. I want us to be very honest this morning. Very honest this morning. This is between you and God. You know, we can't mess around anymore. Old and young. People, listen, even if you're 80 years old here this morning, you know when Moses was called when he was 80? So don't feel old yet. If we are not willing to change, people, if we are so set in our ways, like the Israelites were in the desert, you know we can die there. They say that it's difficult to teach an old dog new tricks. Let me tell you, God can teach an old dog new tricks. If we are willing. And some of us this morning must say to God, God, you know what? I'm on the wrong wavelength. I actually don't know your voice, to be really honest, because God can only relate to honest people, by the way. If you're trying to fool yourself or fool God, he cannot relate to you. There's nothing he can do for you. Somebody asked me the other day, how does one deal with a person who's not honest? How does God deal with a person that's not honest? So she asked God, in fact, God, how do you deal with a person that's not honest? He says, I don't know either. I can't relate to people who aren't honest. So in the, you know, we fool ourselves so much. We fool ourselves because we don't want to change. We convince ourselves that we're fine so that we don't have to change, because the human being does not want to change. You want to stay and you want to eat that pop the whole time. You don't want to move into another appetite. Don't feel like it, because it demands change. And the Lord is demanding change from us this morning. Not demanding, he's suggesting it. You can go on living the way that you are. And the Holy Spirit can leave you. And you can have a destiny that you're not sure about once you die. Or you can know the voice of God. You know, I said the other day at a wedding, I was doing my first wedding the other day. And I said something that just came out of my mouth. I didn't premeditate it. That we all want a home. If you think of Japan, those people sitting there in those makeshift places, they're staying there and they say, when they interview you, them on Al Jazeera or whatever news thing you listen to, they say, when are we going to go home? When can we go home? And my heart bleeds, because they don't have a home. Their home is destroyed. Didn't they see on the TV? It's destroyed. They don't have a home, so they sit there. There's such a desire in every human being to have a home, to go home to. And this is also just a parable of the great place when God says, I'm preparing for you a home. I'm preparing for you a home, you know. And then the Lord showed me something. He says, you know, if we do not know the Father of the home here on earth, there's nothing to look forward to, because that's not our home then. You know, you want to go home to somebody that you're comfortable with. If you're not comfortable with God here, what's your home? But we've got to be comfortable with the Father. If you're not comfortable with the Father here, if you don't know his voice, if you can't sit between your feet up at home when you're with him, if you don't know the fellowship of his spirit on the inside, if you can't spend time with yourself and God and so enjoy it, enjoy his favor, enjoy his embrace, and enjoy his spirit when he calls you to know his voice. And to know where I can respond or I don't have to respond. You know, I just had to say, oh God, you know what? I'm so sorry that I didn't respond to you. Won't you please speak to me again? And the next morning, he called me again and he did what he wanted to do the previous day. He's so merciful, so abundantly merciful. I begged him for forgiveness. I said, I missed out an opportunity. You know what? And he gave me another opportunity. So this morning, the Lord wants to give you another opportunity. And it is so simple. It is a matter of saying, God, I know I'm not there. But today, I bow the knee before you. I'm going to stop. Ek gaan ophou om hardkoppig te wees. Daar's so hardkoppigheid onder ons, veral ons Afrikaners. Jy weet, ons hardkoppig. So much like the Jews were in the desert, you know. Don't want to yield. Don't want to yield. We want to stay on our course. God can't work with us when we're like that. So this morning, if you realize that you want to bow the knee, you know what? The Lord is going to ask you to actually go on your knees. To demonstrate that this morning you say, God, I want to draw close to you, and I'm wanting to ask you to forgive me for being so hardkoppig, so stiff-necked, the Bible calls it. And I want to draw close to you, and I want to hear your voice. And I actually want the mind of Christ. I want to be obedient, and I want to serve people. I don't have a clue what it means, but you say that you will work it in me, the desire and the ability. So I trust that. I now can't do it in my own strength. I cannot do it in my own strength. I cannot love my enemy in my own strength. Like the Bible says, love your enemy. Oh, no, I can't. It goes against everything that I am. Yes, but when the Lord's Spirit is inside of you, you can. Without much effort. When we close to him. This morning, I want you to, I'm going to close my eyes. If everybody can close their eyes. This is between you and God. And it's a very important day today. The Lord says that we must pay attention to his voice when he speaks. If the Lord has been speaking to you and says to you, today is the day that you bow the knee, I want you to go on your knees right where you are. Right where you are. Go on your knees. Talking to Christians here and to people who don't know the Lord at all. Both Christians and people who don't know the Lord at all. Now I want you to do business with God. I'm not going to pray for you. You're going to be talking to God by yourself. You get to tell him everything that you know he's been speaking to you about this morning. And you're going to tell him just like these parents told God exactly what they experienced with these babies. You're going to talk to God by yourself and you're going to do business with him. And he's standing before you as if you are the only person before him this morning. As if you are the only person before him. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to speak to the Lord and then we're going to conclude this meeting. Let us reason together. Though your sins were like scarlet, they will be white as wool. I want to wash you white as wool today. I want to give you another appetite. When my call comes, I want you to answer it. I will show you riches that you've never known before. Riches in myself you have never known before. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it been conceived in the mind of man, that which God has for you, but he's going to reveal it to you by his Spirit. He will reveal it to you by his Spirit. He wants us to come higher, to a high level. What we were last year and yesterday pales in comparison to where he wants to take us. But he will not bash down our doors. He will gently knock. We can decide to respond or not.